Today's editorial highlights the success that comes when teachers and parents set high standards for students, challenging them to grow. A piece from Mark Sappenfield, pegged to bobsledder Ilana Hires Taylor winning her first Olympic gold in 5 winter games, challenges the notion of age as a limiting factor. And diplomats are trying to resolve conflicts between Russia and Ukraine, Israel and Gaza, and the United States and Iran. It's an interesting thought exercise to adapt a line quoted in the editorial. Having high expectations means we believe all students, and athletes, citizens, and diplomats, can learn at exceedingly high levels. This, in turn, instills the confidence and agency to strive. It's Wednesday, February 18th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Krista Case Bryant. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. Russian and Ukrainian officials met on Tuesday for peace talks in Geneva, another attempt at U.S.-mediated negotiations. Core disputes over territory and security guarantees remain unresolved, with Russia occupying about 1/5 of Ukraine's territory. The diplomatic push comes amid continued attacks, with Russian strikes hitting 12 regions just hours ahead of the meeting. Last month's talks in Abu Dhabi were the first trilateral talks since Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine in 2022. A federal judge ordered the National Park Service to restore a slavery exhibit at the site of George Washington's residence in Philadelphia after it was removed last month. U.S. District Judge Cynthia Roof, who was appointed by George W. Bush, said the exhibit, detailing the lives of 9 people enslaved by the first president, must return to Independence Mall. Its removal followed an executive order from President Donald Trump directing national parks and cultural sites to avoid content seen as casting the nation or its historical figures in a negative light. Also, around 100 U.S. troops have arrived in Nigeria to support the West African country's fight against Islamist extremist groups such as Boko Haram and the Islamic State. Nigerian officials have said the soldiers will not see combat, but will serve an advisory role at Nigeria's request. President Trump has repeatedly raised concerns that the Nigerian government has not done enough to protect Christians from jihadist violence. The U.S. launched airstrikes against 2 camps run by a militant group on Christmas Day. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our new app for our latest news. Ukraine and Russia may be at the negotiating table, but for the Ukrainian public, the idea of giving up territory for peace is still anathema. What would make Ukrainians consider such concessions? Guarantees of security against future Russian aggression. Dominique Sogel reports from Zaporizhia, Ukraine, for the Monitor. Jesse Jackson, who died Tuesday, took up the mantle of Martin Luther King Jr. as a voice for equality, a presidential candidate, and a champion of black voting. Our commentator traces Mr. Jackson's journey to its roots in their shared home state, South Carolina. Ken Macon writes for The Monitor. The yellow cement blocks demarcating Israeli-held territory in Gaza were supposed to mark a temporary armistice line. But with the ceasefire process stalled, the blocks keep moving deeper into Gaza, making Palestinians feel more closed in and trapped. Khada Abdel Fattah and Taylor Luck report from Gaza City, Gaza Strip, and Amman, Jordan, for The Monitor. From the ski slopes to the figure skating rink, women Olympians are making their mark in these winter games by competing and succeeding at ages well past what is considered the prime for elite athletes. Mark Sappenfield reports from Cortina d'Ampezzo, Italy, for The Monitor. Support for tribal members has surged among residents of the Twin Cities as Native Americans, legal citizens if born in the U.S., allege incidents of targeting during ICE deportation raids. Sarah Matusik reports from Minneapolis for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on why the U.S. South is seeing education gains. In a well-known folktale, young Goldilocks tests out three bears' porridge, too hot, too cold, just right, as well as their chairs and beds. The story delights most children of preschool age. But when these children enter school, according to education experts in the United States, a Goldilocks approach to developing foundational skills does not serve them well. Teaching and grading that aligns content and standards to a just right fit, rather than challenging students to grow, is a disservice in the view of University of Illinois Chicago literacy professor Timothy Shanahan. This popular approach to teaching has been holding kids back rather than helping them succeed, he wrote in The Conversation last fall. Students learn more when taught with more difficult texts. This observation captures a renewed focus in U.S. public education on elevating standards, curricula, and performance. Too many American students are woefully underprepared for college. And last year's National Assessment of Educational Progress, known as the NAEP, showed a continuing decline in test scores in reading and mathematics. But that same report also highlighted bright spots, a handful of southern states that are blazing a trail to higher student achievement, even with limited financial resources. Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, and Tennessee, previously seen as perennial low achievers, have all made remarkable strides in recent years. Their gains are challenging conventional wisdom about the links between learning gaps, funding, poverty, and racism. About a decade ago, Mississippi was 49th in fourth grade national reading results. Now, when adjusting for socioeconomics and demographics, NAEP ranks at number one in fourth grade reading, as well as in fourth and eighth grade math. Strategies contributing to the Southern surge include the tackling of student absenteeism, pre-kindergarten and holiday learning programs, and teacher upskilling. Mississippi changed how it teaches reading and also embraced contentious school accountability policies other states have backed away from, according to a January New York Times report. One of those is the third grade gate, a test that all students must pass to move to the fourth grade. There were concerns this test would disproportionately impact low-income children. But according to Times commentator Nicholas Kristof, the third grade gate lit a fire under Mississippi. It injected accountability. Principals, teachers, parents, and children themselves were galvanized. In fact, the state's black students, about 47% of the student population, now rank number three, and Hispanic students, 5%, are number one in fourth grade national testing. Alongside academic rigor and support systems, elevated expectations and trust in young learners' innate intelligence, curiosity, and goodness are also key. A blog on the educator-focused website New Leaders notes, "Students know and understand when educators have high expectations for them, and they perform better academically as a result." "Having high expectations means we believe all students can learn at exceedingly high levels," it says. This, in turn, instills the confidence and agency to strive. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how turning to God enables us to glimpse the inherent goodness of God's children. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Tim Malone, Mackenzie Farkas, and Audrey Thiebert.
This This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.